Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today is Wednesday. Do you know what Wednesday means? Anyone?
I know.
Anyone?
There's a show that is live about Smashville?
Yes. Smashville Live. Ding, ding, ding. Give Chase a piece of cake.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. We've already done that.
We have.
This week, tonight, it'll be in East Nashville. Boom Boz, Craft Pizza, and Tap House. That is actually connected to Willie's house. That's located at 1003 Russell Street.
It's close.
No? Oh, I thought it was
close.
You guys were actually attached. It's very close.
It's walkable.
The show is from 7 to 8. This week's guest will be the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson. He's got huge hands and a big heart. He's a really good guy, but he's a large man. He can palm your head and pick you off the ground. That's going to be a lot of fun tonight from 7 until 8. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Speaking of vodka, let's bring in Chris Mason. He joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. C-Mace, what's up?
Not too much. Just hanging out with the little guy. So you might hear some of that in the background.
So, Willie, why'd you look at me that way?
When you think Chris Mason, you think vodka?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I know something about your partner that you don't. Are you doing something on Friday around vodka?
I am.
Okay. So
There you go.
Yeah. Explain.
It's this vodka company. They got these new bottles. It's called Medea. They've got these new electronic bottles where you can put any kind of message on it, and it's got the LED lights around it and all that kind of stuff. I think Matt Irwin is going to be with me, and Roman Yossi is a part of that company too. So we're just going to hang out at Frugal McDougal's and sign some stuff.
Roman have like a? Doesn't he have to be in St. Louis?
A prior engagement?
Yeah, doesn't he have to be in St. Louis?
Well, he won't. Roman won't be there, but I think he's involved with that company. So it'll be Matt Irwin and I.
Okay.
So if you guys are bored around 12 till 2, I don't know, maybe you guys can go on location there Friday.
Well, let's see, 12 to 2 on Friday. No, actually, I think we'll be busy. We'll be working.
Oh, that's right. Okay. But other people, listeners can.
Listeners can absolutely join.
Yeah.
So, Willie. Gave me why would you bring up vodka on
Chris
Mason?
Why would
you
do that? I'm glad you explained it because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I learned something.
Trust me.
There's no reason
the trust?
There's no reason to.
Where's the trust?
Big trust.
Big trust.
whoop, whoop.
What do you think? Tell us the mindset of a player. You get to go away and literally recharge because this is it. When they come back from the break, it is green light go. There's going to be a lot of games.
Yeah. Well,
February,
you know,
March are the most games they're going to play in any 2 months this season.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I'm sure you guys have probably talked about this too, I really don't think the break could have come at a better time for this team. I know things were looking better with the coaching change and just the structure and those things, but just mentally I think this team has just been beat up over the first part of the season with everything that's going on, underachieving, the inconsistency, and then which led to the coaching change, and then going through that, the Winter Classic, and just everything. It weighs you down. It's just that feeling. I think we could all kind of sense that on the ice with this team, that it just never really quite got to where you feel it should. You come off a good game and then a couple of good games even, then one thing would happen and then it would go back down the other way, and it was just a really weird first half. So I think for this break to come at a perfect time, as a player, you're going to go get away from it, not think about hockey at all. You're going to you feel sore and tired the first couple of days because as soon as you let your mind get out of that game in preparation mode, that's usually what happens. But there's enough time in this break to get through that. And then by the end of it, you end it off with a great game against Buffalo, best part of the season coming up. You just come back really rejuvenated, and I think this team's going to really, I think, thrive in that underdog role. Everyone's going to be, you know, discounting the Nashville Predators, but this team's got a good opportunity to really put a couple nice streaks together. And like you said, they got a lot of games, and if they can turn it around, it's going to be a pretty fun ride.
We sort of laid this out yesterday, Mace. Hey, Fraser.
I'm running around the house trying to get rid of him. Chasing me around.
But
we can let him do the segment. That'd be cool.
You do not want to do that.
In a couple of years, maybe that could be an interesting thing. But but it's only been really five games under the system that John Hines is putting in. But do you think they've hit on a formula that they can win with? I think that's a key question going forward.
I really do. I think, to me, the way that this team is built, they need that structure. I think defensively, I think if you play this with the talent that they have, with the four-line deep team, especially once you get Ryan Ellis and Colton Sissons back, I think that this is a recipe for success. It'll give them a chance every night. Instead of getting into those 50-50 coin flip type of games where, yeah, they score four goals, but they're giving up four or five, or, you know, 4-3, whatever the case may be, I think this will give them more of an opportunity to play those 3-2, 2-1 type hockey games and have good success in winning those games instead of, the roller coaster, I think, that we saw in the first half of the season. You can go ahead and you can look at it the season and say, hey, you know what, we're scoring a bunch of goals, but, you know, defensively we gotta tighten things up. I think the way that John Hines has his system in place, I think you're going to see the defense really shore down, the goals against come down. If you put a line in the sand, you know, from when Hines took over, that goals against average is going to go down compared to the first part of the season. The goals for may go down, but I think it'll give them a better chance at the end of the day to win hockey games.
I think I know the answer to this question because you've discussed this, but we laid this out there yesterday. Just being frank, it is really hard to make the playoffs if both of your goalies are under a 900 save percentage, and it's very un-Pekarine and UC Soros-like. But I think what I'm hearing you say, too, is this system might help them come around to where the numbers will be better, and I think they would both tell you they can probably play better than they played.
Yeah, well, there's no question, and I think that, you know, it just the way that the guys are playing, and, you know, I want to make clear, too, I think we've said this before, you know, none of this is bashing what Peter Laviolette's done. They had great success with the way that, you know, he implemented his systems. I felt like maybe it just ran its course, but the guys, I think we could see, aside from maybe the Anaheim game, which was a clunker, they're not seeing the frequency of grade A opportunities. There's not as many breakdowns. There's not as many teams coming back in the transition, getting odd man rushes. The types of shots that Saros and Pekka are seeing are going to give them a much better chance to succeed. And as a goaltender, you know, you can have the best goaltenders in the world, but at the end of the day, the separation between the guys isn't that much, and you are a product of your environment. So if you're on a team and you're whoever you think the best goalie in the world is playing on a team that's given up grade A opportunities, I don't care how good you are, you're not going to have good numbers. And I think that's kind of both of the guys, like you said, Willie, probably admit they could have played a lot better at certain points in the season, but their numbers are also a reflection of the product in front of them. And I think defensively the team just hasn't been to the standard that they should be, and I think moving forward, I think this team, that's a major focus, so I expect them to be much better defensively. The games are going to get a lot tighter, more physical, more playoff-like, so I think this team is trending in the right direction.
There's a big unknown as to when Ryan Ellis will come back. There's some good signs that Colton Sissons will be back when they start play, but the other key stat would appear to be they've got to get a lot better in the penalty kill, specifically power play as well. But I wonder, to this break, just stepping away, clearing your mind and maybe hitting the reset button to where you don't have that snowball effect of, oh, wow, we gave up two power play goals the other day, and now we're coming back out here and we got to face the Jets or whoever it is. Maybe that can help restart and lead to better, because that has to be better. They cannot make the playoffs as they continue on 31st in the penalty kill.
No, they absolutely can't. You can't have, you know, your special teams, if they're not going to, you know, make a positive impact on the game. If you're not going to, you can't let it kill you or hurt you. And I think this year that the penalty kill has definitely been a sore spot. It's really cost them a lot of hockey games and a lot of points. And, you know, you think of the fine line between making playoffs or, you know, moving up spots and winning the Central Division. You're talking about 3-4 hockey games, 8 points, 6 points difference in a season. And I think their penalty kill has at least cost them that in some games where they've really just got exploited and just it seems like they just had no confidence. But I think, like you said, Willie, that's another reason why this break, because you can just start all over. You've got the fresh start before the break with a new coach. They're starting to learn how he wants things done in terms of the defensive zone, the forecheck, the neutral zone. The penalty kill is obviously a big one, the power play. So I think coming back, this is going to be a team that's, to me, as a player, I'm getting energized just thinking about it, to feel like the weight's been lifted off. You had the break. You don't have that, you know, disappointing game 2 days ago that you gave up two penalty kill goals against, and then you know the next time something goes wrong, that snowball effect takes over again. This is an opportunity for this team to come back with a completely different mindset, and you can almost, you know, start confident instead of the way that that team seemed against Anaheim. And I thought that Buffalo game, that was huge. To go into the break with that game, coming back with that mindset of just playing the type of game, the type of hockey that they want to play, I mean, that's a huge thing for this team to look back on and to start the second half.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators broadcaster. And, you know, one thing that we've discussed, Mace, is David Poile calling out, you know, players that they need to play better, and that's something that has been brought up time and time again. But I'm curious, from the standpoint of you guys in the locker room, how do you address that when the coaches aren't around, the media aren't around, it's just the players, and, you know, everybody kind of looks at it and goes, there are some guys in here that need to step up. Does it take one person standing up and, you know, calling them out, or is it a discussion? How does that take place?
Well, you know, those are kind of periodic things. I think, you know, a lot of guys will tell you, I mean, you're your own worst critic. And I think, you know, as we can all look and analyze seasons and pick guys that you feel should be, you know, getting more production, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, whoever you want to pick, you know, there's a lot of culprits, I think, this year for the team, especially in the top six, that need to be better if this team wants to make the playoffs and you know, do something this season. But, you know, it's a lot of it, I think, you know, and I really like listening to John Hines, and even when Peter was here too, it wasn't that they don't have the talent or that it's some of the play, it's that effort. It's the way that you play the game. It's the desire that you play it with, you know, that kind of relentless pursuit and the attack. And I think that this season, it hasn't been there all the time. And that's, we all know, I mean, this team on paper, this is one of the best rosters in the Western Conference, in the National Hockey League, top to bottom. But if you don't play that way, if you think that, you know, you're going to play, you know, you're playing Anaheim and you can play with your, you know, your B game or whatever to get by because, you know, you look at their roster and, well, you should win if you play half decent. It doesn't work like that. And I feel there's been too many of those games against some of those types of opponents where the guys just really weren't ready to go and just didn't really put in, you know, the commitment or the preparation to play that A game against a, you know, a C team or whatever. So I think the mentality and the way that these guys play is the biggest factor in the outcomes. And I think when they do that, when Ryan Johansson's engaged, you know, every time playoffs comes around, he's one of the best players. He's emotionally engaged. He's big. He's strong. He can, you know, he can defend well. And offensively, obviously, he's a very talented guy, but you have to be emotionally engaged, I think. And that's top to bottom. You can't just have two or three guys a night. You need that entire roster to do it in order to have success.
Catherine on Twitter wants Fraser's breakdown of the goalies.
Of the goalies?
Yeah.
Well, he was just running around on the deck with his hockey stick saying, hockey, hockey. And he's beating up this little tricycle thing. So,
hey, he's going to be a goal scorer.
I hope so. I sure hope so. I'm keeping the goalie gear away from him.
Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Chris Mason every Wednesday at 1 o'clock and family. We appreciate him joining us. We will come back. There has been a ruling on at least one player for Kansas. We'll tell you who that is and what happened to him On the other side, Darren Dunnick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.